Benaiah Devil's Dirty Dozen, written by K.J. Gunzelman. Book 2 of the Benaiah series. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada the priest. He was a renowned warrior and one of King David's mighty men, known for his bravery and significant military achievements. He was in charge of David's royal guard, comprised of the Sherethites and Pelethites, non-Jewish mercenary forces who fought for David. And while David killed Goliath, the giant Philistine from Gath, Benaiah killed his own giant, an Egyptian 5 cubits tall, or about 7.5 feet. He did it, not with a sling and stone, but by snatching the Egyptian weaver's beam-sized spear from his hand and thrusting it into him. Benaiah also killed his own lion, bare-handed. Following King David's death and having helped secure the throne for his son Solomon, Benaiah received a place of even higher honor in the kingdom. Solomon promoted him to commander of the king's army. A faithful man, Benaiah was a servant of the living God. Acknowledgements I am indebted to Annika Lucas and her book, Quest for Love. It provides an obvious and ghastly picture of the horrors associated with the sex trafficking trade. And I would like to thank my dear friend, Dr. Robert C. Brandon, for his Christian camaraderie, compassion, criticism, and overall coaching during my literary journey. He is an inspiration behind this book. As always, I would like to thank my wife, Linda, for her encouragement, patience, and feedback during the writing of this book. Her love and kindness have been greatly appreciated. Chapter 1. I positioned Caitlin in the passenger seat and buckled her in. She was amazed to find she was sitting so far back. The floor space is for Bullet when we drive. She smiled and nodded. I was surprised at how composed she was. There wasn't a hint of trauma, confusion, or any other symptom of distress. It was as if the last 6 hours had not affected her. I was definitely impressed. As soon as we began our trip to Brookfield, Caitlin said, "Uncle Ben, I'm hungry. Can we get something to eat?" I peeked at her smiling and expectant face and said, "Absolutely, sweetheart. What would you like to eat?" And, without a pause, she said, "Ice cream." I nodded and smiled. Then David whispered into my earbud, "You should try Shelby Campbell's Eatery and Bar just off the exit in Pleasant Prairie." I nodded, and 20 minutes later, our server brought each of us a burger with waffle fries and Caitlin a massive bowl of strawberry ice cream. She was still smiling, and after taking a bite of her sandwich and one fry, she then focused all of her attention on the ice cream. I had just learned a valuable lesson about kids and eating out. Never order dessert with the meal. I needed to check in with Sophia. I never heard the phone ring. "Ben, please have good news for me. I have her right here and she's fine." I then looked at Caitlin and asked, "Would you like to say hi to Aunt Sophie?" I put my regular phone on speaker as Caitlin put her spoon down and, in the most adorable voice, said, "Hi, Aunt Sophie, Uncle Ben, and I are having ice cream." I could hear Sophie say, "Thank God she is okay. Sweetheart, can you tell me what happened?" I tensed a little, but Caitlin stuck to her original story. Somehow she got lost. This nice man found her, and while he was looking for Mommy, he gave her some treats. The part about me was a little muddled, but it didn't seem to matter. Sophie was just so thankful. "Sophie, where are you right now?" "I'm still at home. I couldn't drive, so Mom and Dad immediately left your parents' house and drove to the airport to help Mike and Lisa find Caitlin. I called and told them what you said, but Lisa wanted to stay and find her baby." "Okay, please call everyone and let them know that Caitlin is safe. We'll be leaving here in about 5 minutes and should be home in an hour or so." I will, and thank you so much for finding her." We signed off, and I watched as Caitlin gleefully finished her ice cream. I was still amazed that these last several hours hadn't fazed her in the least. From her actual abduction at O'Hare, as the family moved from one gate to the other, to her forced journey to his house, and then she was placed in a lonely locked room while he auctioned her off to the highest bidder. And then I thought of Eugene Matlock, the perp who had taken her. He had had such a gift. How he could keep her so calm and pliable and without drugs was a mystery. But then, I thought about all of the other children he must have abducted over the last 27 months, and I felt no remorse for putting 3.45 caliber rounds into his evil body. Caitlin brought me out of my thoughts as she said, "Okay, Uncle Ben, I'm done. We can go home now." I nodded and smiled. The remainder of our trip was a joy. When we entered the house, Sophie immediately ran to her niece, grabbed her, and hugged her like she hadn't seen her in ages. Bullet sat and watched. I patted him on the head and waited for my turn. It would be several minutes before that happened, but it was wonderful when it did. After my last kiss, she eagerly picked up her phone and called her brother. With the speaker, everyone praised the Lord for keeping her safe. But all of the attention seemed to confuse Caitlin a little. She didn't understand why everyone was making such a fuss. She was fine. Less than an hour later, her brother, sister-in-law, and parents arrived, and we started another round of hugs, kisses, and questions. Caitlin kept with her story, and then they looked at me. "She's okay. Someone picked her up thinking she was lost, gave her some snacks, and dropped her off when he realized people were looking for her. It was short, and she wasn't scared. We've talked through it, and I think she's doing really well." Everyone was just thankful. I even got some hugs and handshakes. Then David had an update. I hadn't realized I still had my earbud in my ear. I excused myself for a moment and went to my bathroom. "Ben, I've completed downloading the secret server. Do you want to know what I found?" "Not right now, my friend. We are having a family reunion, but in the next day or two, you and I will have quite the discussion. What you can do is make sure Matlock's secret server is wiped clean, and the only thing they find on his network is the Moreno dossier." "Okay, Ben, I've already attended to Eugene's computers and network. Please enjoy your reunion, and thank you for calling me a friend." I hadn't thought when I said it, but it was almost like having my brother David back. I rejoined the merriment, and now Mom and Dad were here. A few minutes later, Hannah and Mike arrived. I exhaled deeply and sighed. We had just avoided a colossal tragedy. Just then, a pang of consciousness swept over me, and for only a moment, I wanted to tell the whole story. But this was working. Only Hannah looked at me for a deeper explanation, and that would come later. I really just wanted to downplay the trauma without denying the event. I had affirmed Caitlin's safety and agency. I had given everyone a digestible version that didn't provoke panic, and I had left room for deeper conversations later, if needed. For the time being, everything and everyone were fine. The reunion didn't break up until almost midnight. Mom and Dad were the first to leave, followed by Hannah and Mike. Sophia's parents, Mike and Liz, had decided to stay at our place, and they would pick up their belongings from Mom and Dad's tomorrow morning. The fishing had been great, and Mike was looking forward to his next fishing expedition with Dad. But now they wanted to be near their youngest granddaughter. There was no question that Mike Jr., Lisa, and the girls would stay. My goodness, we certainly had the room for them, and they did for another full day. Sophia had found and booked them on a direct flight from Milwaukee to Houston the day after tomorrow, and she had tomorrow's dinner catered by the same folks who did our wedding. While the evening was still a little pensive, the next day was as if nothing had happened. Caitlin and her older sister, Carrie, spent most of the day playing with Bullet in our small lake out back. The rest of us found solace in being such a close family and having faith in our most generous and loving Lord. Dinner was excellent, and the conversation light and enjoyable. I couldn't count the number of times my beautiful wife looked at me and smiled. I think she really liked me, and why wouldn't she? I had just returned her niece, safe and sound. I wondered if I would ever tell her the whole story. I hope not. The next morning, Sophie made us all an excellent breakfast, and then we watched as her family crammed into her parents' rental car and drove off to the airport. Unfortunately, there were no direct flights to Austin, and so Mike and Liz would have to make a stop in Chicago. I hoped I never had to see O'Hare again. Once they were out of sight, Sophie looked up at me and gave me a sensuous smile as she took my hand. "We have some unfinished business, sweetheart." I smiled and nodded as she dragged me back into the house. Somehow, the touch of her hand and the pulling of my arm, together with the knowledge of what she was up to, felt exhilarating.